Live from Edinburgh, Radio Napier News.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Ian Four News, and my name is Adam Sturrock. Here are today's main stories. UKIP has been rocked by the resignation of its leader, Dian James, after only 18 months in the job. At the Conservative conference, the Tories get tough on foreign workers as they seek to get more Brits working. Is there a disconnect in Scotland? A study shows that Scotland is ranked as one of the worst regions in the UK for 4G access. And Edinburgh goes Bavarian at the Oktoberfest, as the Oktoberfest arrives in the capital today.
This is Radio Napier.
It's a very busy day for the British political parties today. The UK Independence Party is now in another headhunt as their latest leader, Dian James, stepped down after only being in the job for 18 days. In a statement on her website, she says that she didn't have enough authority over some members of the party, so did not formalise a nomination. Moving over to Birmingham, the Conservative Party conference due to a close today. In her first conference speech as the leader, the Prime Minister Theresa May said the party should work for everyone by giving everyone, regardless of their background, a fair chance. But this came into conflict with what was said yesterday. The Home Secretary Amber Rudd said that discussion need to be made as to how many foreign workers should be employed by businesses over British citizens.
This isn't a way of saying anything negative about them. What we're trying to say is that we want to have a system whereby we do welcome people from abroad for businesses and for students, but we want to do it in a way that's in the best interest of the UK. That's why we're having it as a review.
And speaking of jobs, it seems to be getting better in Scotland for those on the unemployment line after a retail giant has announced plans to set up shop. Dan Smith tells us more.
Online retail giant Amazon is set to create 5,000 jobs in Scotland as part of the Christmas 2016 shopping season. As part of the ever-increasing presence of online shopping, Amazon's Dunfermline plant will see 4,000 of these new employees in the run-up to Christmas, while a further 1,000 will be recruited in their plant in Garrock. The huge expansion is in response to last year's Christmas, which was their busiest period ever, beginning from Black Friday at the end of November up until Christmas Eve. John Tagua, Amazon's Vice President of UK Operations, said the thousands of seasonal associates who join us at this time each year play an integral role in helping us deliver an exceptional experience for our customers during the Christmas season. 100 jobs are set to be created in Edinburgh as Bombay-themed cafe chain Dishoom is set to open a cafe in St Andrew's Square this winter. First opened in London in the 1960s by Iranian immigrants, it'll be the first time the company will open a location outside Britain's capital. Their Andrew Square location is set to feature a cafe on the top floor and a cocktail bar in the basement. They will be looking for chefs, management, front of house and bar staff ahead of their winter 2016 opening.
That was Dan Smith. For those of you who are listening to us on your mobile phone, welcome and we hope that you can hear us clearly. I say this because according to a new report, Scotland is ranked near the bottom in terms of access to the 4G network. Lauren Buchan took the streets to find out more.
A recent report has revealed that Scotland is still lagging behind the rest of the UK in accessing 4G mobile signals. The study compiled by consumer organisation Which examined connectivity between the 1st of June and the 31st of August earlier this year. This was after the Scottish Government planned to improve coverage across the country and to maximise spending on 4G technology. Results found that mobile users north of the border are only able to access 4G connection 50.4% of the time. This placed Scotland 8th in a table of 12 regions across the UK, while London topped the rankings with users able to access a signal 69.7% of the time. We spoke with 4G users on the streets of Edinburgh to see how it affects them.
It's good in particular places, but sometimes it cuts out. Yeah, it's very frustrating, especially when like you're doing like important calls or anything of the sort.
It's not bad. I'm from Inverness, so it's really bad up north. So like to me, Edinburgh's got pretty good 4G.
I think it's quite good, to be honest. I have never had problems with it. I mean, obviously there's a lot of Wi-Fi around Edinburgh as well, but still it's annoying if you can't have access to the internet.
Further steps are now being taken with major providers across the nation to ensure networks are extended to even the most remote rural areas of the country.
We've just had phones and now we're on to bottles. An innovative recycling measure is being prevented from going ahead due to drinks manufacturers lobbying the Scottish Parliament. Peter Carson reports.
Plans to implement a bottle deposit scheme in Scotland have come to a standstill as large corporations fight the legislation. The scheme would put a recycling tax on bottles and containers, motivating people to get money back from every bottle and can they recycle. John Mayhew from Deposit Scheme Advocates, Have You Got the Bottle, argues that this is the next step for Scotland's waste management problem.
We've been running the campaign for about a year and a half because we think it will reduce litter in the countryside and it will boost recycling and it'll save money for local councils and it'll help small and medium businesses and it'll promote the circular economy and it will add a value to something that people consider as waste, and therefore it'll have a wider impact on making people think about the stuff they throw away.
But the government has faced opposition from private companies who don't want the tax on their products.
We think they've got enough information to decide and they should simply go ahead straight away. But there's plenty of people, particularly powerful interest in business, that think that we shouldn't go ahead.
The Packaging and Recycling Group Scotland is a group set up by drinks corporations such as Coca-Cola and AG Barr to oppose the legislation. Campbell Evans, a consultant from the PRGS, says the scheme wouldn't work because curbside collection is working already.
At the moment, what we're seeing is a growth in recycling and curbside collections. That's where we should put in our efforts. We're making strides to make sure it makes it simple for consumers, provide resources for local authorities, and we believe that we should be building on that rather than undermining the progress that we've been making in Scotland.
AG Barr famously had one of Scotland's only bottle deposit schemes, but it shut down last year. Kirsty Grierson, a PR for AG Barr, explains why they moved against deposit schemes.
They had a big announcement last year that they were going to end their glass bottle scheme because their rate had of recycling or of returning bottles had dropped to approximately 50%.
Campbell agrees that this is an example that shows why the scheme will not work.
It's a perfect example of why recycling is working, because what they've seen since recycling took off is that they've seen a decline in the bottles that have been returned. And that was at 30p a bottle. The way we're working is the way forward, rather than going back to something that we had way back when.
The point that the corporations make seems to have little merit. They argue that curbside collection is sufficient and that the scheme would burden shops and consumers.
I think that you're asking people to change their behaviour, and I think that takes time, yeah, and I think that you'd need to be certain that people would change their behaviour to do that, and is a tax going to do that? I'm not entirely sure.
But similar programmes such as the plastic bag tax were a rousing success, which also faced great opposition from corporations. Should we really let private corporations have the say on our environment?
Just a quick reminder, you're listening to Edinburgh Napier News. Here are today's main stories. UKIP has been rocked by the resignation of its leader, Diane James, after only 18 months in the job. At the Conservative conference, the Tories get tough on foreign workers as they seek to get more Brits working. Is there a disconnect in Scotland? A study shows that Scotland is ranked as one of the worst regions in the UK for 4G access. And Edinburgh goes Bavarian as the Oktoberfest arrives in the capital today. And now our reporter, Andrew Fleming, gives us his summary of the international news.
Citizens in Haiti have been forced to flee their homes after the country was hit by the worst hurricane the Caribbean has seen in over a decade. Parts of the nation have been left devastated as a result of Hurricane Matthew, after heavy rain and gusts of over 145 miles per hour ripped through the southwestern coast, flattening buildings and leading to severe flooding. Officials have struggled to reach the worst hit locations, and although the latest death toll sits at 11, this figure is expected to rise significantly. The hurricane also hit Cuba, where the effects were said not to be as severe. As it continues to move westwards, US states are bracing themselves for impact, with South Carolina starting to evacuate more than a million people. Florida's Governor Rick Scott has this advice for the people of his state.
Right now, the message is be prepared for tropical storm force winds on Thursday. Make sure you have food and water for 3 days. The preparations that we had back in June. We will be monitoring the situation with the National Weather Service, and tomorrow we'll have more information.
In America, Tim Paine and Mike Spence clashed overnight in a rather heated vice presidential debate held at Longwood University. The Democratic and Republican number twos focused their sharpest exchanges on Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, respectively, during their 90-minute battle. Right from the off, Paine was quick to question Trump's professional ability to lead the country.
I just want to talk about the tone that's set from the top. Donald Trump during this campaign has called Mexicans rapists and criminals. He's called women slobs, pigs, dogs, disgusting. I don't like saying that in front of my wife and my mother.
but Pence was very defensive, making reference to Clinton's own discriminatory approach.
To be honest with you, if Donald Trump had said all the things that you said he said in the way you said he said them, he still wouldn't have a fraction of the insults that Hillary Clinton leveled when she said that half of our supporters were a basket of deplorables.
Their meeting sets the stage for the second presidential debate in Missouri on Sunday, where Trump is in need of an improved performance from the last encounter. The US people go to the polls in 34 days' time on November the 8th. And more than 20 migrants have died after suffocating in the hold of an overcrowded boat on the Libyan coast. More than 1,000 people had crammed onto a stricken wooden vessel on three separate levels. The International Organization for Migration have confirmed that a total of 142,000 migrants have arrived in Italy this year, with the death toll sitting at 3,100.
That was Andrew Fleming. A young woman who sustained life-changing injuries in a road traffic collision has shared her experiences at the Streets Ahead Edinburgh Young Drivers event, which returns for a sixth year. The popular event is jointly run by partners in Streets Ahead Edinburgh, such as City of Edinburgh Council, Police Scotland and NHS Lothian. Our reporter Craig Laper finds out more.
Today's safe driving event at the Corn Exchange saw pupils and teachers touched by the stories of people affected by road accidents. The main speaker, Laura Torrance, has been a wheelchair user since 1999 when she was injured in an accident with a newly qualified driver in East Kilbride. She now works as a peer support advisor with the charity Spinal Injury Scotland and talked to us about today's event.
I had a road traffic accident when I was 16, just kind of highlighting the importance of road safety and the fact that they come along today and get to try out a few interactive things and see exactly what could potentially happen. Everyone else was kind of on their feet and relatively okay. There was a broken collarbone. My boyfriend at the time had to get stitches in his head, but I was only one that suffered a spinal injury.
As well as meeting Laura, sixth-year pupils attending the four-day event saw a wide range of talks and demonstrations which helped to promote road safety. This included a dramatic performance named Friends Deunited, where a group of friends were torn apart after a fatal crash. I sat in with PC Hayley Daniels on her driving tutorial.
What is this test to demonstrate?
This is a brake reaction test, and it demonstrates how quickly people can react to the brake lights coming on in the vehicle in front and the distance that it will take them to stop their car.
So have the pupils in the back here, will be, what will they be doing?
They will be listening to the people that's in the front, and at some stage they'll be causing a bit of a distraction, and that's in an effort to distract the person who's driving, but hopefully we're going to teach them that even if there is noise and distraction, that they shouldn't be, you know, distracted by that.
How do you think today's gone so far?
It's actually been really good.
Really good. Informative?
Yeah.
Did it put you off driving at all?
Yeah.
Road traffic collisions remain the biggest killer of young people in Scotland, with an average of 54 incidents a week involving a young driver aged between 17 and 25. Louise Patterson, a teacher at Curry High School, thinks today's event is an invaluable tool.
It's really important, and a lot of our students will go on and have already even started lessons as well, so it's a really important time for them to come along to this.
And our final story. The summer festival season has come to an end, but Edinburgh is still in party mode as it hosts two adjoining festivals. Our reporter Rachel Henderson talked to the event managers.
With the passing of the Fringe Festival, Edinburgh is geared up once again to host two legendary events, the annual Gin Festival and the Oktoberfest. This year's Gin Festival is back in Edinburgh, running from the 7th to the 9th of October. It will be hosted at the Corn Exchange. After the last years of sold-out success, the Gin Festival will showcase over 100 different gins. This will include new producers and a variety of entertainment events that will be held throughout the days. We talked to the coordinators about the success of the previous years and what we can expect at the event.
So, this weekend we'll have around 130 different gins, as well as 10 brands who would have a good old chat with you about their gin in general, different kinds of distillation. We'll have masterclasses, live entertainment and some really lovely food.
The gin that you're showcasing, are some of them from countries like further abroad, or are they all UK based?
So a good proportion of them are UK based, but we do have a bar which is dedicated to international gins. There's 26 on there, and in addition to that, this weekend we'll also have an extra Scottish bar. We have a lot of Scottish gins anyway, but we thought we'd put a few extras in, seeing as we're up there. Scotland has an amazing history with distillation, and gin's just an addition to that.
Hosted simultaneously as the Gin Fest is the Oktoberfest, which is no longer an event you have to head to Germany for to experience. This year, the Oktoberfest in Edinburgh has gone especially Oktoberfest mad and has set up a 1,500-man tent in the Princess Street Gardens. Beer, food and music will conjure up that German feeling, and ja, mein Lieber, it's just like being in Munich. Speaking to Davy Sorgenfrei about the food, vibes and making of Scottish version of the Oktoberfest.
The best feeling in Edinburgh, the people all went crazy. That's not normal. In Germany, you have so much people in the tent. Here they have a limit. That is good, because the people can dance free and the woman won't get touched and stuff like that.
Those are today's top stories. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us. My name is Adam Starrick and this is Edinburgh Napier News. If you want to know a little more about what is happening in and around Edinburgh, head to our website at en4news.com and also have a look at our Twitter account at en4news2016.
This is Radio Napier.